We're standing at D'Angelo Park, which is a park right near the old Congress, now Ida B. Wells ramp that heads over the old post office and onto 290, with John Schmidt, of course, our Chicago historian, our regular Chicago historian for our regular series here. All right, so what's so specific and historic about this spot?
A lot of people today know the intersection, the old spaghetti bowl, the Chicago Circle, was a few years ago named after Jane Byrne. And that's kind of entered into common usage in Chicago on the traffic reports
and so on.
But a lot of people don't know this bridge over here, over the Chicago River, is actually called the Clarence Wagner Memorial Bridge.
Huh.
And that's a forgotten bit of Chicago political history.
Yeah, because everyone knows this spot just because it's right where you go under the old post office.
Yeah.
But the bridge right before over the river, yeah, I would think that was just called Ida B. Wells or 290 if you're lazy.
No, it's left over. Clarence Wagner was one of these forgotten politicians. I first heard about him from my Grandpa Price. He was a precinct captain, so he used to tell tales about politics. But I really found out about him in 1970s when Royko's book and so on about Richard J. Daley came out. Clarence Wagner might have been the mayor of Chicago instead of Richard J. Daley if things had broken differently.
Wow.
He was a Southside alderman. He was half Irish, and his father was German. But he was part of the Southside Irish group of politicians from the 14th Ward. And they were rivals to the Daley politicians from the 11th Ward. Well, early 1950s, Clarence Wagner is an alderman, he's a committeeman, and Martin Connelly's the mayor, and Martin Connelly's basically window dressing. I mean, he looks like central casting put him in to act as a mayor, and that's what he did. Sometimes he seemed like he was just acting. But anyway, Clarence Wagner practically ran a city. Well, the politicians figured Connelly had stepped on too many toes. He got Congressman Dawson from the South Side angry at him because he thought Connelly was unfairly picking on his black constituents. So Dawson said, okay, we'll back Connelly for one more term. In 1955, he's got to go. That's the end of Connelly.
That's it.
So 1953 comes, 2 years before this, and there's going to be a meeting in the Central Committee of the Democratic Party, the Politburo, so to speak. And the acting chairman is stepping down, and according to the insiders, County Clerk Richard J. Daley is supposed to become the new chairman of the committee, and 2 years later, he will run against Connelly in a primary, beat Connelly, and of course become mayor. Yeah, well, they have this meeting behind closed doors, and in the meeting, Clarence Wagner stands up, and Clarence Wagner is well-liked. He's a very sophisticated person for a Southside Irishman of that time. Great orator. He had a very deep voice. They call him Gravels because he kind of, you know, kind of talk like this. And he
good,
says in this
impression, John.
Yeah, he said, thank you. He says in this closed-door meeting, well, wait a minute, let's delay this vote. So the meeting ends, and they come out, and this, of course, is the oral history that was told later, what happened is closed door meeting. And they come out of the meeting, and everybody expects Richard J. Daley to be the new county chairman. And the reporters are saying, what happened? What happened? And he said, Daley giving his say, Clarence stood up, and he asked for this two-week delay, so we still got an acting chairman. Well, 2 weeks to maneuver, right? To go
on. Of course. That's what Chicago politics,
yeah,
right?
So Clarence and another friend of his, another politician, they decide they're going to go on a fishing trip out by Bronco Nagurski's place, northern Minnesota.
You're just getting all the names in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Talk about Nagurski's Corner another time. So anyway, the two of them go on this fishing trip, and they bring their young sons with. And somewhere on the trip, Clarence Wagner misses a turn, and he cracks the car up, his Cadillac up, turns over, and the passengers I've got out with minor injuries, but Clarence Wagner got killed.
Wow. So this was in the two-week time.
This was in the two-week time.
He had asked for a delay, went on a fishing trip, died on the fishing trip.
Right, right. And so they come back, and of course, by now, his group is all kind of splintered, and they make kind of a half last stand to try and do it, but Richard J. Daley does get named county chairman. 2 years later, he
becomes mayor, and the rest is history. And for that unfortunate demise,
yeah,
Chicago recognizes him with
a bridge here. And the irony of that is nobody thought of it at the time. We're naming an expressway bridge after somebody got killed in an auto accident. But This is the Clarence Wagner Memorial Bridge, and it was forgotten, actually, for many years.
Now, there's a postscript to this, because as this bridge, it gets forgotten because, of course, it's sort of overshadowed by the post office.
Yeah, and the Daley family, they're not going to try to publicize this.
But it's amazing to think about, because you said Wagner was part of the 14th Ward. It's interesting who replaced Wagner and the lineage since.
Yeah, the 14th Ward was then centered on Garfield Boulevard on Halsted Street, and it's moved further west with districting. Well, when Clarence got killed, a man by the name of, I think it was Joseph Burke, became the next alderman and committeeman, and he ruled the ward until he died in 1968. And then his son takes over, a guy by the name of Ed Burke, who is now the longest serving alderman in the history of the city of Chicago, 51 years in county.
So you can almost route back what happened to Clarence to Ed Burke being alderman today. Yeah, and the Daley dynasty. This man who this bridge is named after holds the key to a modern political Chicago history.
Yeah, and Ed Burke did recognize this. As I said, this had been forgotten, this bridge. And so in 2013, in the 60th anniversary of Clarence Wagner's death, Alderman Burke came out and they rededicated the bridge and they put a new plaque up, and I assume the plaque is still there in the Southwest Bridge House.
Okay, as we stand and we look at all the traffic going by, you can hear it in the background. As this is really a series about forgotten, hidden Chicago history, is there a chance that you could see the Clarence Wagner Bridge be renamed at some point because people forget their history?
Nah, they wouldn't do that in Chicago. Why would they do that? That'd be like changing the name of the city. We're not going to do that.
We're not going to do that. Now, before we wrap, you know, it's interesting because we were talking about how this is no longer Congress. Now it's Ida B. Wells. But it wasn't always called Congress.
No, it wasn't always Congress. Before it was Congress, it had actually been Tyler Street. It was one of those President Streets on the...
Makes sense, right? Yeah. We talk about all the President Streets out there. Right.
The thing is, John Tyler, when the Civil War came, was for Virginia, and he joined up with the Confederacy. He wound up in Confederate Congress. So they changed the name of the street. And afterwards, when everybody was making friends enough with each other, they declined to change the name back. So it's been Congress until recently.
John Schmidt, of course, our regular Extension 720 historian. We're talking about the hidden landmarks that are featured in your new book here on Extension 720. Today, the Clarence Wagner Bridge, right before the old post office. Thanks, John.
Sure.